This is the Drive and Dish Podcast, talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
It seems like the Heat this year, with the way that they're built, they have a lot to prove, and I think that they could potentially be the 2 seed in the East.
Kevin Rayfuse.
It's October 28th. The Spurs play the Thunder. And so you got Lamarcus Aldridge making his debut with San Antonio. You've got Kevin Durant, first game back, coming off foot surgery. You know, we know these teams have battled before, twice in the Western Conference Finals.
Justin Cousins.
You got to get somebody around Davis. Maybe some guards that can get on the ball, so not Lance Stevens.
Let's go.
So I think we've all had those mornings, especially us since we all work the early morning shift, where just getting out of bed is a royal pain.
I don't know how you do it. You wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning.
What time do you go to bed for that then?
Usually between 7 and 8.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's cool. I get off at noon, though, so that makes it a little bit better. But Anyways, Justin, you had quite the rude awakening the other day.
I did. So I woke up at 4. I get up at 4:15-ish to come into work.
I get up at 4:05, and we get here at the same time, don't we?
Maybe no, you I feel like Justin more. Gets here later.
Oh, okay. I get here at 5:15.
Okay, fair.
Okay, so I get up around 4:15, but Tuesday, when I got back from my trip, I woke up, and there was cop lights flashing in my window, and it's dark out, so it was like the only thing I was seeing.
That has got to be absolutely terrifying.
It was. And so the story that came out of this is these guys ended up shooting one of my neighbors and trying to steal his car. They caught these people, but yeah, so
tried
it
tried to steal his car. Did they steal it, or they tried
I don't
to steal
actually
it?
Know if they took his car, but they shot him in the process of trying to take his car, and I'm not sure if they took his car and ran or got back into their car and left.
And so did he survive?
No, he passed away. There's like this whole memorial in his parking spot in our neighborhood right now. It was actually really sad, and it weird because so coming into work, I got questioned by the cops for like 15 minutes if I heard anything, if I saw anything, what were you doing last night, all this stuff, and like I felt like such a loser being like, oh, I was in bed by 8:30, sir.
Right. the adult life for you, but I wonder if they bought it.
I don't know. Like, the cops was looking at me like, yeah, sure, you were. Right. Like, no, but like, so it is weird because our neighborhood's actually a pretty nice neighborhood. We're in a little gated community.
I know,
thing.
That's surprising because this isn't the first time this has happened to you. And I've seen your apartment
in
before,
3 months.
And St. Augustine is not a bad part of Florida. It's historic. It's beautiful.
There's some parts of it that are kind of sketchy.
It's the oldest European city in America.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are some parts of it that are a little sketchy, but it's weird because the crimes are getting slowly closer to my house. Like, the first one was down the street at the gas station.
Remember
this one's
3 months ago when we introed the show with the fact that you need to move because there's crime? Have you reconsidered that again? You know, now that somebody's literally been murdered in your apartment complex?
Like, basically on your doorstep?
I could throw a rock from my, like, if I were standing on my window ledge, I could throw a rock and hit his window.
That's very Sarah Palin of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 2008.
No. Never forget Sarah Palin.
Okay. Well, all right. No, I mean, so now we lock our door. We didn't do that before. Now we're doing
that. You weren't
that.
Locking your door? This isn't the Midwest.
My
you weren't locking your door?
Both
what?
My roommates lost their keys. So anytime I lock the door, they'd be like, where are you? I need the key.
Well, tell them
like,
to find their keys.
A new key. Go get a key made. They're like $1.50.
My roommate just did that. Yeah, it took someone dying to do that. But it's weird because on Wednesday we do this pizza thing. We went to the pizza place and their windows were broken in. And it turns out these people went on like a crime spree. There was like windows broken in on 3 restaurants by this movie theater. And then they went to our neighborhood, followed the guy from the movies to our neighborhood and shot him. And the worst part of all of it is this guy's like a 53-year-old autistic guy. Like, it was like, come on, man. Like,
so you guys are going out in St. Augustine tonight?
Yes.
Welp.
We have some interesting people.
If for some chance you don't hear from Justin and I again,
you know what happened.
It was real.
It was because the lowly streets of St. Augustine.
You know, the cocaine capital of Florida used to be in St. Augustine. So
in what's potentially our final episode, this is the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rayfuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
The ball has been rather truthful, and the ball don't lie.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest, as always, our producer, Justin Cousart.
Noticeably following my family's car on the road for nearly 30 miles. miles and tailing me the whole way is not the best way to get an autograph.
Oh, I actually know this one.
Yeah, I think Tim does too.
Yeah, I sent this over to him earlier in the
week. Yeah, Steph Curry.
Yep.
Dude, creepy.
Yeah, I think he was on his way to the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards or something like that.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, don't follow someone for 30 miles.
I mean, you know.
Rather closely to get an autograph. And I wonder, like, if you're an athlete or a star or whatever it might be, and somebody is trailing your car, do you stop? Do you call the cops? Because that seems like that would be rather terrifying.
But I feel like it's probably common. Like, you know what I mean? Like, walking down the street, I'm sure you'd get a few people walking behind you and stuff like that, too.
Yeah,
like
but
when
trailing your car? I mean, you're an athlete. You're worth money. You have your family in your car. Do you
That's
stop
why you have bodyguards.
That's 30 miles, too. That's a long way. It's not like that's just, oh, hey, we followed you for, like, a street.
Yeah.
Right. No, 30 miles is a distance. So do we have an update on what happened? Did he stop and give the guy an autograph? Did he call the cops? Or?
I don't think he did.
He didn't give the guy an autograph. I don't know if this guy got arrested, but
I mean,
he didn't get an autograph.
I mean, if I followed you for 30 miles, I'd probably get arrested, right? You'd call the cops on me?
No, I just ask you what the hell you were doing.
Okay, fine.
We're on that level.
Okay, fair.
I'd probably text you in our Drive and Dish group text.
I'd just be like, dude, stop. Like, what
so
are
just
doing?
Bringing me into it for no reason.
We do that as often as we can. It'll be like 8 o'clock at night. I usually fall asleep at around 8:30, and I know Kevin's sleeping, so I feel like this is a great time to blow up the group text.
Just start some weird conversation, send something that's just so absurd.
That has nothing to do with basketball, so his phone keeps going off and off and off and off. I actually found out recently that you can silence group texts.
You know, and okay,
specifically,
so
like
you're
going
to have
threads.
To show me that, and this is probably really relatable for some of our listeners, because fantasy football is starting, okay? And so I'm in like 3 fantasy football group texts.
Oh my God.
And fantasy football gets real. Like talking about keepers, talking about all this stuff, it gets real and it gets heated. And I mean, my phone is just constantly blowing up. And like, to the point, I text my friends the other day, I'm like, don't you guys have jobs? Like, why are you texting so much?
Bringing it back to fantasy though, is last year we did this on the podcast and I felt like it was really cool. But we had a fantasy basketball league.
Yes.
Fantasy basketball starts in about 2 months-ish.
Okay.
So we're going to do that again on the show. We're
going to
post it up on our Facebook. We're going to get our listeners involved. So if you want to join us in our head-to-head league, by all means, please let us know. Hit us up on the Facebook now. Hit us up on the Twitter. Lots of ways to get a hold of us.
And like we like to do every episode, we got another review, and we want to give them a shout-out. This one's from Canada this time.
Yeah, our neighbors from the north. This one's from MikeI9. It's a 5-star review. It's called Best NBA Podcast. He says, the best NBA podcast since TBJ. Great combination of chemistry, humor, and analysis. Excellent use of drops. And I would like to point out that humor has an O and a U in it.
Oh, God.
So hold on. I want to know if you guys, because I'm a bit more of an avid basketball podcast listener, know what TBJ stands for.
Yeah, Basketball Jones.
Damn it.
That's Come the on, starters, man. Right?
Yeah, the starters. Yep.
See, I got you.
Yeah.
I know what's
so
up.
The starters right now.
Try and stump us.
I do love the starters, but right now they're doing this thing where they aren't talking about basketball at all. So even like their Friday drops are not basketball related.
Mm.
And I haven't been able to listen, man.
I like the whole, we keep it, like, we talk some basketball, but we talk some other stuff, too. We're not strictly going to talk about one thing. We kind of bounce around.
And it's got to be frustrating, because now we're going on, like, a 13-minute intro, and we haven't talked a lick of basketball.
No.
So
no.
Let's get into news, then.
Yeah, we should get some news.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, Ricky Rubio is full of big thoughts. He thinks Andrew Wiggins is going to be an MVP one day and that they're going to make the playoffs next year. The Kings are bringing back their baby blue retro jerseys for select games next season. Jordan Hamilton signed a deal with Russia. He played for the Clippers last season. Kobe Bryant was joined by Taylor Swift on stage at the Staples Center the other night. He actually presented her with a banner. He sold out that stadium 16 times. Glenn Davis says the Clippers would have beaten the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Do you agree? And lastly, the Raptors signed Jonas Valanciunas to a contract extension worth $60 million. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So the Raptors doing what I think was incredibly smart of them, instead of waiting for their let's call him a star center, to hit free agency, hit restricted free agency. They actually went ahead and extended his contract to what seems like a pretty good value. You are looking at four years, $64 million, but with incentives, it could go all the way up to $70 million.
Yeah, no, I really like this deal a lot. This is a pretty savvy move by the Raptors. They avoid having to re-sign him in 2016 when you know the cap is going to go up. This is a guy who is 23 years old, so there's room to improve. He was averaging 12-8 last year. He was second in the league in field goal percentage. So I think there's room to grow with this guy. I think it's a very fair deal. And I think, especially as you watch the Cavs continue the Tristan Thompson negotiations, which are just hilarious, you have to look at the Raptors here and say, this is a pretty good move at a pretty good price for a guy who is this really solid center.
Yeah, it kind of works out to about the same money per year as Tristan Thompson or as Enes Kanter. And Jonas gets a lot of comparisons to Enes Kanter. But you're looking at the guy and you're looking at 12-8. You know, is that your center of the future right there?
He's ranked in the top 10% of the NBA for back-to-the-basket efficiency, which is kind of cool.
Well, I mean, last year he had a 20 PER. He had an 8.6 win share. I think the problem with him, and if I had to compare him to any center, and I know he gets a lot of comparison to Enes Kanter, would actually be someone like Nikolai Pekovic, someone that's really good. He's a really good scorer, but he's not a rim protector. I mean, if you look at the Raptors last year, the problem with the Raptors was that they dropped from like 8th in defensive efficiency to like 20th. And,
yeah,
some of that has to do with the fact that they don't have a rim protector.
Yeah, I agree. But you can go out and get somebody to play next to him. You know, there's still a role for him. He's still an offensively gifted guy. You just have to find that player to play next to him. But I think his upside is too high to not pay that kind of money for him.
The thing that freaked me out, and maybe I'm wrong with this, but Hoops Hype had him at, like, they were calling him like a top 3 big man in the league. And I don't see that.
Like, I'm not ready to go that far.
No, on defense last year, he ranked 34th among centers that were eligible for that ranking per minutes and everything. He ranked 34th on the defensive end. And the Raptors last year, they were fine offensively, just like they were the year before, but they were terrible defensively. So was it him, or was it, you know, because the Raptors also had some roster changes this season where it was kind of like an addition by subtraction. You know, they got rid of Lou Williams. They got rid of Grievous Vasquez. They added Corey Joseph, and they also added Damari Carroll. So will that be enough with Jonas? If you put Valanciunas next to Damari Carroll and take out those guards that are just complete and utter defensive liabilities.
I mean,
you know,
it
he's
going
to be playing with Terrence Ross, maybe, depending on if Ross is coming off the bench or not.
Yeah, I know there's rumors going around right now that the Raptors are trying to work out a deal with Terrence Ross, see if they get that done before the season. But I don't know. I mean, you bring Corey Joseph and Damari Carroll, and you do improve them defensively right away. Is it enough? We'll see. But I think they don't lose a step offensively with those players, and they gain a little bit on the defensive side. I've liked what the Raptors have done this offseason.
Well, and they also added Bismack Biyombo, too, so they have made some moves. I guess with Ross bringing it back a little bit to him, you know, they signed Damari Carroll, which was their big offseason acquisition. Some people think maybe he got paid a little bit too much. Classic 3-and-D guy. He can't create his own shot. But as long as he is cutting to the basket, if he's with a point guard that can get him the ball in places where he's good with it, he's really good. But Terrence Ross is already kind of the exact same player. So you had just mentioned, Kevin, that they're working on extending Ross right now. I haven't read those reports. I haven't heard those reports. I'm sure they're accurate, but I'm just a little bit confused as to, if you're the Raptors, why are you trying to lock in a position that you already have locked in?
Well, you're committing a lot of money, too. The other question is going to be, what do you do with DeMar DeRozan when his contract comes up? And you know he's going to command more money than Terrence Ross is. Are you going to have the money to re-sign him? Is he the guy you want going forward? That's going to be a decision that the Raptors have to make.
I mean, I think so.
I think maybe they're with the Ross thing, they're just thinking they can get some depth. Maybe that's, you know, depth at that position. That way, you know,
Carroll, the bench.
Yeah, Carroll and Ross play the same game, so no matter who's on the floor, they can still run their offense similar. So maybe that's what they're thinking, and keep that going that direction. They don't have to change up the offense depending on Ross and Carroll being on the court.
I mean, Ross was what? He was drafted in 2012?
Yes.
It seems to me like by them signing Damari Carroll, they were kind of giving up on the Ross experiment. And then if you look at the Raptors roster, and I really do like the Raptors, but I think that they're stuck in a point to where they aren't really getting any better. They aren't really making it past the second round of the playoffs. They're in the East, you know, they have to compete against LeBron James. Like, they don't really have a lot of upside on their team. I mean, Kyle Lowry's 29. Damari Carroll's 29. It seems like they've given up on Terrence Ross. Where is the upside on this roster?
Valachunas. Valachunas is the upside. They just signed him. He's going to have a breakout year.
Yeah, so you're looking at your 12-8 center, your guy that's averaging 12 points and 8 rebounds.
You bet on his upside.
You bet on the upside.
You bet that he offensively improves enough to be a game changer, whereas defense doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't have a lot of faith in the Raptors team in like 2 or 3 years because their best players are getting older, and they don't really have any young prospects that I'm like, as Kevin likes to talk about a lot, ceiling, which I actually, I think we should be talking about floor more than ceiling some of the time, but regardless, not the point. It seems to me that this Raptors roster in a couple of years, there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I pretty much agree with what you're saying with that. I'm more of arguing what their mindset is, but the Toronto roster is a classic example of a team that's really good and could make some noise if everything goes right.
They're like,
but everything has to go right, and it's pretty unlikely that they're not better than Cleveland, which in the East is what you know you have to go through,
At least better than the Bulls, because you at least want to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and you can't do that if there's 2, 3, 4 teams that are better
or the same. Yeah, yeah. So do you think the Raptors, in my mind, are like 1 or 2 really good moves away from that? I think if they were able to make 1 or 2 moves, they would be there. But
and it's harder too because right. A lot of people aren't talking about it, but they're in Canada.
Yeah,
and Toronto is a wonderful city, but a lot of NBA players, frankly, don't want to live
there. Yeah, I think that sentiment's kind of going away, though.
When's the last time they signed a marquee free agent?
But
they're already talking about rumors of Wiggins.
Marquee free agents have been really leaving teams recently, though.
I mean, I can't think of them signing a marquee free agent in the last.
Well, they haven't, but I think there's more energy with that franchise. Toronto's a city that just, and I'm talking in like a global level, has really made some noise recently.
Well, it's a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful city, and I think people are seeing the fan base. You know, the last 2 years they've made the playoffs, regardless of how far they've gone, the fan base has been there supporting.
Well, especially the year before last. I remember when they were in the playoffs and they had those screenshots of all the people that were gathered outside of the arena.
Right.
And it was, and then you looked at like them playing the Nets and there was like everybody sitting down inside the Nets arena.
Yeah, and wasn't it their GM that dropped the F-bomb?
Yeah, back-to-back years he dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. They're exciting. They're an exciting team. And I said this earlier, but I've already seen, you know, articles being posted about how, you know, Wiggins is going to go to the Raptors in like 2022
or something.
Well, that's
their hope, is they're trying to get, I mean, Corey Joseph's Canadian. They're trying to get all these Canadian guys to play in Toronto. That's
They were making plays for Steve Nash before Steve Nash ended up going over to the Lakers. So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And it seems like teams like that, having players that are from the country makes it easier to keep them around.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's also more travel that's involved with playing on a team in Canada, because every time you're traveling, you're flying farther than all
and you
got to
go
teams.
Through customs
right.
and all that.
Well, that's not necessarily true. The Toronto's not that far from a lot of these East Coast cities.
True.
It's really not. Toronto from Philadelphia or New York or Boston, it's only a few hours of a flight, and you don't even change the time zones.
Listen, Kevin, I study maps for a living. That's what I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You going on these NBA road trips?
No, but I look at maps. I mean, it might be specific to Jacksonville, but regardless, I look at maps for a living.
Okay.
You do.
But this is the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzart. Hit us up on Twitter. You can follow us at Drive and Dish NBA.
And the next time somebody asks you if you know of any good podcasts, please keep us in mind.
So there's been a lot of news with Jamal Crawford recently. Some of the teams that are potentially interested in him are the two top ones are the Knicks and the Cavs. Do you see Crawford going to either of these teams?
I don't think that there's a need for Crawford really on the Clippers lineup anymore. I mean, I know that their bench was a problem last year, but his efficiency severely dropped. He wasn't that great on the defensive end. You know, they picked up Lance Stephenson this year. They picked up Josh Smith. They picked up Pablo Prigioni.
Right.
Like, do you really need Jamal Crawford?
Yeah, there's enough gunners on that team.
Yeah, he's not going to play much. And well, so
Josh Smith can just take all
the
shots.
He kind of confirmed these rumors. Like, he didn't really kill them. He tweeted out on the 19th. He tweeted out, sometimes things have a weird way of working out. And you know, that was obviously in regards to all the rumors going on.
He had said something during free agency, too. I think when DeAndre Jordan was a free agent, when he was going through that free agency process, that he wished he was a free agent.
Mm.
And people were wondering at the time, was that kind of a dig at the Clippers, or was
well,
it real?
Well, he wasn't. When they went to go, you know, that whole ridiculous borderline hostage situation with DeAndre Johnson that seemed like... DeAndre Jordan, excuse me.
DeAndre Johnson.
And Jamal Crawford wasn't there when they were trying to get DeAndre Jordan back, was he?
No. No, he was not part of the emoji war.
Yes, the emoji.
He's not a part of it.
Greatest day on Twitter ever.
That was honestly might have been the highlight of the summer.
Man, like, the banana boat.
Yep.
Chris Paul on a banana boat.
Well, so bringing it over to the Knicks, because the Knicks are one of the teams that they're talking about potentially being there. They don't have many assets to try to trade this.
No, I put this through the trade machine. Did you guys?
There's literally no. Well, hold on. Before we get to the trade machine, this Knicks fan tweeted out, Knicks are interested in Ricky Rubio and Jay Crossover. Wake me up when the Wolves and Clippers are interested in Calderon. Well, and Calderon tweeted back, said, hey, buddy, wake up. So there's some things that Calderon might be involved. They would definitely have to get a third team involved, though.
Right. I mean, well, the Knicks being interested in Ricky Rubio makes a lot of sense for me. I mean, if you're the Knicks, you aren't going to win anything with Jose Calderon, and I love Jose Calderon's game, but
I agree.
He's older, though. He's a defensive liability. He has injury issues. Fantastic shooter, but you aren't going to...
Fantastic free throw shooter.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see his free throw record?
He's up there with, like, Steve Nash.
It's he shot, like, 97.3% on free throws one season. It's like a borderline unbreakable record. Yep. And it wasn't like he shot, like... 60 free throws.
Well, last year, I added him to my team because I needed to, my fantasy team, because I needed to improve my free throw percentage.
There you go.
But he was shooting like one free throw.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now at this point, he's not doing getting
no,
the line
I mean,
too
he's,
much.
He's just not getting to the charity strike. So I brought this through the trade machine, and as far as the Cavs don't have a way to do this.
No,
there's no way. But the Knicks do if they throw in Jose Calderon and they get CJ Wilcox back it would have to be Jamal Crawford and Wilcox for Jose Calderon. And then I'm looking at that and I'm thinking the Clippers have zero young talent. They have CJ Wilcox. I believe he was drafted last year. He was their first round draft pick. And what do they want Jose Calderon for? They already have Lance Stephenson and Austin Rivers. You don't need anybody else if you have Austin Rivers.
Right. Agreed.
While that logic is questionable, I agree with the sentiment of what you're saying.
It's just like, I feel like it's a lot of smoke and no fire. Like, all the teams involved, like, it's always one-sided. There's nothing.
Well, and what are the Knicks, what do the Knicks need Jamal Crawford for? Well,
a second scoring option.
The Knicks don't have a draft pick this year. They need to be good because there's no point of them tanking this year whatsoever. They need to make the playoffs. That's why they want them.
Well, and that's the thing is, so, you know, you can have that next electric, you know, energetic scorer. You have Carmelo, you have Aaron Afalo, but after that, like, you don't, you know, everybody else isn't, like, that big going to rack up points on you. Like, Jamal Crawford can still drop some points on you.
And somebody needs to score other than Carmelo.
Right.
He can't be the only person
you need another
scoring.
Option. But so the third team that brought into this that kind of is underlying...
The Timberwolves with Ricky Rubio?
No, the Heat.
Oh, yeah, because the Heat are interested, but this I find funny, too. But anyway,
they were going to trade, in the trade machine, the one I saw was they were going to do Mario Chalmers, Chris Anderson, Josh McRoberts for Jamal Crawford.
That makes zero sense for the Heat.
Why? They have a clusterfuck of people.
They're trying to get rid of Chalmers and Anderson just for salary purpose.
Okay, I get that. I hear all of your
points.
But
they do have Green. I get
But they have Gerald Green. There's no reason to get rid of that many assets. Yes, you want to get rid of Mario Chalmers. Josh McRoberts was injured last year. You're trying to make a playoff run. Chris Anderson is still a very serviceable backup playing 15 minutes a game. You're doing all of this so you can get a gunner. You already have a gunner.
You don't think there's a ploy to get KD next year? Like, the rumors are already going that it's Pat Riley's big plan to try to recreate the big three with Kevin Durant? Like,
well, how does any of that play into getting Kevin Durant?
Because you have to sell assets to have the room for him.
You got to have room.
Shedding Chris Anderson and shedding Mario Chalmers is purely for salary reasons. Like, that's why they've been trying to move them for the last 2 years,
Well, the Clippers can't take on that salary, so who would get them?
Oh, I'm not
saying
it makes sense, but I'm saying I get why the Heat are trying to do it. It totally makes sense. They're trying to free up cap space. I don't think they're trying to make a run,
I think that if you look at the Heat's roster this year, that, yes, every single team in the NBA is going to be making a play at Kevin Durant next year. We all know this. It's the year Kevin Durant. We talked about this extensively on the podcast that you were gone, Justin.
Okay.
And I agree with you on that, but at the same time, the Heat have a roster where they have Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. That's your core. None of those guys are getting any younger, and I think that this year that they could make it, they could easily compete. I think that they have an absolute chance of making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and to use your terminology, Kevin, if everything falls right, they could make it to the finals.
I think they can. No, I think they will compete. I'm just saying, I think if you're Pat Riley, I also see the merit of playing the long game. I think he may be playing a longer game because he's not necessarily convinced that this team can win a championship.
But
I agree they're
going to
compete,
though,
absolutely.
It seems like there are just I feel like there are other ways to get rid of Mario Chalmers and Chris Anderson without having to give up Josh McRoberts just to get another Gunner. Now, if they didn't have Gerald Green, it makes complete sense to me. But it just I feel like there's other ways to make this happen at the trade deadline. There are going to be a couple of the teams, say the 76ers, who have to make it to the salary floor, mm-hmm. who you can probably work out some sort of trade. Kevin Durant's not going to be in play until next season. Why are you essentially taking out any hope of making a deep playoff run this season just to clear up cap space for next season, especially with the roster? I mean, Goran Dragic is, I think he's 29 years old. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade's old. Chris Bosh is not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You could get rid of some three people that are causing some problem, not problems.
Well, Josh McRoberts, though, like, he is serviceable. He was just injured last year.
But if you can get a guy that's going to come out and be somewhat of a guaranteed 12, 15 points a game from Crawford, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from McRoberts because he's been hurt. And then Anderson, obviously, like you said, is good. Mario Chalmers hasn't been the best since LeBron James left.
No, he sure hasn't. That was a top 10 point guard, my ass.
Yeah, so I don't know. I get you. I get what you mean. The only reason I wouldn't do it is because you have Green. You don't need him because you have Green, but I...
Yeah, especially just giving up Josh McRoberts. I mean, Josh McRoberts, especially with the cap going up, he's on such a team-friendly
deal.
But you
could always give some backup to Dwayne Wade, you know? I mean, I don't know. You know, put someone at the three, put Crawford
at the
two.
Well, I mean, that's what their backup to Dwayne Wade is, Justice Winslow. And you want to find some minutes for that rookie that Kevin's so high on. The guy that doesn't talk and kind of looked lackluster in summer league.
He didn't look lackluster in summer league at all. I don't know what game you were watching. We watched the same exact game. He didn't look lackluster at all.
I think if you could do it, you should do it. But I don't see the Clippers doing it is the problem. It's like every team on the receiving end of Crawford is like they should do it, but it's like the Clippers like just don't have a reason.
I mean,
to.
If the Clippers can come out of this somehow with Josh McRoberts,
they pretty much replace Spencer Hawes in that way.
Yeah,
right?
And I get it. And Josh McRoberts is a better player. He's a better passer. He's kind of a glue guy. He can do it all. I get the value. If the Clippers can come out of this with Josh McRoberts, it makes sense. Otherwise, I just like the move doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But let's bring it back to the Cavs a little bit because
okay.
I find this hilarious.
And see, I don't. It makes sense for J.R. Smith.
Okay. So J.R. Smith opted out of the last year of his $6.4 million deal.
Right.
Hopefully to re-sign with the Cavs or anybody else that would give him money. It turned out nobody would.
Right.
To re-sign for a two-year deal at $5 million apiece with a player option for the second year.
And essentially, that's the kicker, player option.
So essentially he just re-signed another one-year contract, but at $1.4 million less.
But
he
guaranteed himself more in the long run. His second year, he's going to get $5 million. It wasn't guaranteed last year.
But he could have just waited until next year. Like he cost himself
But there's a bunch of other players that are going to be moving around next year. So now he can look at 2016 when Kevin Durant potentially might be moving around and free himself up and potentially move with him and get on a championship team. You know what I mean?
I just feel like this was an epic fail from J.R. Smith, and if I was J.R. Smith, I would fire my agent immediately.
I think J.R. Smith just kind of overvalued himself a little bit.
Well, that's where your agent comes in.
Well, right, but I don't think it's...
He made more money in the long run. Yes, he was going to make $6 million, but now he's going to make $10 if he uses his player option.
But
he's making $4 million more in the long run.
But he's not going to use his player option. I mean, unless he's injured.
If he gets injured, locked in.
No, if Cleveland wins this year, too, I think he uses his player option, and there's a very good chance they win this year.
No, if I was him, next year, cap going up, $5 million a year, you play good during the playoffs, you absolutely opt out. It's just like he was already going to be a free agent.
But it's guaranteed money versus betting on yourself. We've seen that players take the guarantee. It's that matters with
so
this.
So you think this was a good move for him?
No, but what if he... I don't necessarily...
I do.
But what if he tanks again, though? Like, that logic, if he's great in the finals, it'll be good. But what if he's terrible in the finals again? And then all of a sudden, nobody wants to sign him because we know he's had attitude issues in the past.
So you think when he opted out of his contract, he was opting out of his contract to get less money?
I think it's not as bad as you were making it seem.
Oh, it's hilarious.
He's making $4 million more. How?
Dude bet on himself, and it was a bust. Fire your agent, J.R. Smith. Also, like, I don't know why...
Dude bet on himself and made more money.
He cost himself $1.5 million next year.
And potentially got himself on a team the year after that could win it all if the Cavs can't do it.
Dude failed on this. If I were him, I would fire my agent for telling me after such a poor showing in the finals that anybody was going to have interest in his services, because it looked like he was going on. There ended up being two teams in the league that can pay him. One was Philadelphia, and that doesn't make sense for Philly.
Nope.
Who was the second team that had Portland?
Portland's got the money.
And there's no reason to put him on Portland either. And, you know, honestly, it's J.R. Smith. Like, what does he do?
Dude, J.R. Smith on Portland between him and Damian Lillard would just be hilarious. It would just be those two taking like 80 shots a game.
Yeah, and if you're Portland, there's just no reason to have anybody but Damian Lillard and Alfred Camino and Mason Plumlee taking any shots.
Right.
No Vonley.
I don't know.
You want to develop. You don't want J.R. Smith was the broader point.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this was a good move for J.R. He's got himself more money, man. I'm just saying, in the long run, he gets $4 million more. He locked it in that he has the option with, like, so many other players next year to potentially, if he has a good year, make a ton more money and or stay on the Cavs.
The player option is good. I will
say
that.
It was the player option. If he didn't have the player option, this would have been a terrible move.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. The player option, he's going to opt out, and then he just ended up next year when he opts out of his player option, barring injury, and then we see that he lost himself $1.5 million. I'm going to take this episode right here. I'm going to bring it up, and I'm going to say, ha-ha, I was right.
That's fine. Also, the Cavs are $10 million over the luxury tax now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a broader point, actually, going to our next conversation that I was really looking forward to, is there were reports that the Cavs, and I think we even thought that it was a done deal when it wasn't, were going to re-sign Tristan Thompson for...
Yeah, I thought this was, like, done. Like,
4 years, $80 million. He turned it down, and he turned it down. He turned it down because some of his peers...
Who?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who are his peers?
Who are his peers? Is my first question.
But people he thinks are his peers. He saw LaMarcus Aldridge, and he saw all these other big men in the league signing these contracts. Here's the thing: he's better than none of them. They aren't really his peers.
That's what I'm saying.
But if you're Cleveland, you're kind of capped because you just mentioned this, that they are over the luxury cap. Here's the thing: is that if they re-sign Tristan Thompson, they can go over that cap. But if they don't, they're stuck with the mid-level exception to try and fill in the void, quote unquote, that he would be leaving. So if you're the Cavs, you can either have Tristan Thompson or you can have Bismack Biyombo, essentially. Like, those are your two options. So you're stuck as an organization.
Well, it's like, why the hell? Like, I don't get it. Why is Tristan
totally
Thompson being like,
or
no,
Tristan Thompson? I think it's stupid.
Yeah, like, why not take the $80 million they offered you?
Like, that's enough.
Because
money.
He's got Rich Paul as his agent, and he's got LeBron as his boy, and he thinks he can hold the organization
hostage.
But
didn't LeBron James even say that he deserves the $80 million?
Like, yeah, of course LeBron. LeBron wants to be a Cavalier for life. He said that in an interview. That's why Tristan Thompson is playing this hand right now, is he knows he thinks he can force it.
But it's hilarious. I mean, the guy averaged, the only thing he's good at is offensive rebounding. He has no low post game.
He can develop it, maybe.
He's a good energy guy. Like, he fits a role there, and I think he is a part of this Cavs team, and he's important. I don't think he's nearly as good as he thinks he is.
No, I agree that he fills a role. If you're
isn't he going to be technically a bat? Because you have to start Kevin Love over.
No, yeah. I could see him go. I could see Cleveland going super small and starting
both?
Tristan Thompson at the 5, Kevin Love at the 4, and LeBron at the 3.
Yeah, no, I
but then why did you get Gortat in?
Or not Gortat, you mean Mozgov?
I mean,
no.
Mozgov.
Like, there's going to be games and there's going to be stretches where he is playing more minutes. But if you're the Cavs, you have Kevin Love, you have Timofey Mozgov, you have LeBron who can play the 4, you have Anderson Varejão.
You can't really count on Barishow at this point.
No, but you can't. But at the same time, you don't need... If you have that much money locked up into your front court, you don't need to be paying somebody that much money.
It's just confusing to me. Like, it doesn't...
And somebody
I just think it's...
There are not that many minutes.
It's almost... Is it too much to say it's arrogant of Tristan Thompson to do that? Like,
no, it's absolutely arrogant. But like, he's playing his hand because he's in a really good spot. He takes that $6.4 million qualifying offer, kind of betting on yourself. It doesn't happen often, but we just saw Greg Monroe do it.
Yeah.
The cap jumps up to $90 million next year.
And you make more.
And then you can he's talked about going and playing for the Raptors. Like, if he re-signs next year, he could make a lot more money. So he's like, he's doing the smart thing. We think it's arrogant. We think it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a crappy situation for the Cavs.
It's just
he's
crazy.
Overplaying his hand. If I were them, I would not like this guy.
It's crazy to me that somebody would turn down $80 million. Like, I get it. Because you can and you might make more.
Well, just
but
so
like,
many players are taking the guarantee. You really have to. I mean, this is life-changing money. You really have to be confident in yourself to bet on it. I mean, look at Kevin Love. You could look at all the money Kevin Love could have made next year if he took an opt-in deal. They would have wheelbarrowed it into his home full of money. What? But it doesn't matter because you like security and you never know what could happen. You know?
What if he gets like a season? Oh, what if he were to get like a season-ending injury? Like,
I mean, that's just what everyone says. But he's young.
Greg Monroe
did it. I wouldn't be too surprised if he ended up signing that qualifying offer. My question for you two is, though, you're the Cavs. You have all this money locked up in the front court. What do you do? Do you re-sign him, or do you have him take the qualifying offer and just sign a backup big with your mid-level exception? Like, what's the play right there?
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I if I'm the Cavs, I'm annoyed as hell. Like, we just offered you $80 million and you turned it down. Like, I'd be pissed off.
I think you get him down to a four-year deal and you sign him. Oh, and that's only because I think they're so close to a title that they just need to get it done. It's not ideal, but I think in the terms of appeasing LeBron and going all in, I mean, your window is the next two or three years with this team. Sometimes it requires a lot of money. And in the case of the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's bigger than just basketball for them. That city is starving for a championship. It's been like 60-some years, I think.
You should make that into your new quote.
If I'm the Cavs, I'm looking at Bismack Biyombo and be like, 6.4 rebounds last year. He doesn't suck that bad.
Right.
Like, I could do that.
No, I think
he's got a 15.8 PER. Like, right. You really could figure that out.
I think if you're the Cavs, you go ahead, you spend the money on a position that's a luxury at this point for your organization, for your team, and you just bite the bullet. To Kevin's point, you have a small window to win a title. It's hard to win a title. I don't think it's only two or three years, though. I think that we still have a good 3 or 4 years left of LeBron. We have Kevin Love, who is just going into his prime right now. If Kyrie Irving can, and
stay
you know,
healthy.
He like fractured his knee last year, so who knows with him. But yeah, if to your point that he can stay healthy, that he's pretty young.
Honestly,
your window could be, especially in the East, like you do have a little bit longer of a window, but you have to do it.
For the okay, so then this is my question.
You know, look at how quickly. You know, ask Indiana or ask potentially OKC if Kevin Durant leaves, how quickly championship windows can close.
Yeah. Well, my question to you then is for the Cavs, who is their 1-2 guy? Is it LeBron and Kyrie, or is it LeBron and Love?
Like, well, that's a great segue. Segue of the show goes to Justin.
Thank you.
But you are listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Tim Tompkins, Kevin Rayfuse, Justin Kuzar. By all means, hit us up on the Twitter. It's Drive and Dish NBA. So to your point, Justin, recently Kevin Durant went on the record with the media saying that himself, Durant, and Westbrook are the best 1-2 punch in the NBA.
That's fair.
It's probably a good debate.
Not the best duo, but the best 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Probably true. I mean, they're definitely
true.
Up there.
Definitely true.
So, I don't know, man. There's a few other people that could contend with
them. They're two of the top five players in the league. Who's better?
So hold on for this segment.
People are close.
Kyrie and Aldridge could potentially be better.
Listen, gentlemen, calm down.
I mean, calm down.
Okay, we're gonna have an avid debate. It's going to be a lot of fun. But for this segment, we decided that we wanted to break down our top choices for the best 1-2 punches in the NBA.
I'm ready.
For conversation's sake, we were each supposed to come up with five. I came up with seven because
I actually have a lot more.
Right. Yeah. Justin, well, Kevin and I were talking in the gym yesterday, and we thought the whittling process in and of itself will be kind
of
fun.
We'll make a five list when we're all said and done that we'll all agree
Justin,
on.
Justin, are you keeping?
Yes.
Okay, so Justin's going to be the scorekeeper on this 1-5.
Okay, hold on.
I wanted to point out that we're going to judge this a little bit on how long they've been together and the accomplishments they've had as a duo, because I feel like that's important to the argument.
Oh, absolutely. You can't just assume that two players are going to work out. I mean, everybody thought Kobe and Dwight Howard were going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they weren't.
Right. So for example, somebody that wouldn't count on this, you couldn't say Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Damn it. I thought they were going to be really good.
They are, but they have zero history together. So for that, you would have to say Kawhi Leonard and Tim Duncan.
You can can rate them over some people for the sake of potential, but they're not going to crack my top five because they haven't played together yet.
Okay, so Kevin.
All right, so you want all five of mine now?
Yeah, or however many you came up with.
Mm-hmm. All right, so for the sake of getting this started, I guess I'll say five. Okay. And so my five are Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, LeBron and Kyrie Irving.
And that's funny, too, because, is it LeBron and Kyrie or is it LeBron and Love?
I think at this point it's LeBron and Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm going off history here just because we've seen more of them together. Yeah. And I've seen them play better together, even though I think Kevin Love may turn into that Chris Bosh on the Heat role where he's more important. He's just not there yet.
I think Kevin Love's a better player. You had said that yesterday at the gym.
I agree. I do think he's a better player.
I think
it's
almost like LeBron as the point guard, Kyrie as the shooting guard, though. If you look at it, I think LeBron's the point guard in that one.
It's how well they play together. Yeah. That's kind of what I based
that off
of.
And last year when you were looking at the Cavs, obviously LeBron and Kevin Love did not play well together.
Right. So that's why that was my criteria for there, I guess.
Okay.
And my final one, this was tough. I had a lot of different ways to go with here, and I'm probably least sold on this one of my five, but I went with James Harden and Dwight Howard.
Okay.
And that's more of, I think, Dwight is going to start to decline, and there's other people that are a little more interesting in
that are on the
that
upswing
argument.
That
yeah.
I can think of too. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, to add to that list, the only two duos that I have to add to that list are Wall and Beal.
Okay.
And Conley and Gasol.
Conley and Gasol were borderline my first off. Wall and Beal, I just need to see Beal stay healthy for a year. That's my problem with Bradley Beal. I just need to see him stay healthy and put it all together for a year. John Wall, I'm obviously sold on. John Wall's great.
Yeah. I mean, they have had success. They've made it
absolutely
to the second round of the playoffs.
The guys that you just listed are pretty much all the guys that I had. The only one that I would want to add, but I can't because they haven't played together yet, is Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge.
What about Kawhi and Duncan?
We could do Kawhi and Duncan. I think the conversation could be a lot different next year if we were having this conversation
after seeing
them play, of course. But, I guess I can add, I'll add Kawhi and Duncan.
Kawhi and Duncan to that list. So how many do we have right there? Eight?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kevin Durant says that him and Westbrook are the best 1-2 punches in the NBA. Let's see if we can get rid of any, who has gone the least far as a duo as a 1-2 punch out of all the players that we've listed. You have Harden and Howard who have been to the Western Conference Finals. You have Durant and Westbrook who have been to the finals. You have LeBron and Irving Kawhi and Duncan won it together. CP3 and Griffin have made it to the second round. Curry Thompson obviously won. Wall and Beal have made it to the second round. Conley and Gasol have obviously made it to
Western Conference
Finals. I feel like the ones that made it the least far would be between Wall and Beal.
And CP3 and Griffin.
Well, yeah. Wall and Beal are playing in Eastern Conference number one. So that narrows that down to me. And I'm not going to blame Chris Paul and Blake Griffin for the reasons the Clippers haven't made the Western Conference Finals and gone further. I mean, we're talking about the best point guard in the league and borderline a top 10 player in the league. And I can't just downplay that duo because they haven't made the Western Conference Finals. They had no bench last year. We've talked about this all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that you can.
They're two. They're Chris Paul and Blake Griffin's. Their two-man offensive rating is a 116.7.
Well, the Clippers were the best starting lineup in the NBA last year.
Right, and when the Grizz made the Western Conference Finals, it was more Gasol and Randolph than it was a Gasol and Conley. Like Randolph was a better player back then.
Argue that 1-2 punch too.
The Spurs have gone better, but the Spurs are a deeper team than they are. So,
can we take Wall and Beal off of that list as a top five?
I think we all just agreed on that, on them coming off.
Okay.
So I'll cross them off.
All right, so let's look at the next one, Harden and Howard. So we're looking, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
They exceeded so much expectation last year to, I think,
because
all of
Josh
us.
Because of Josh
Smith. Well, yeah, Josh Smith had
a
part of it.
And Corey Brewer going off in that game.
I don't know, man. The pick and roll those two do, though. And then
but
Howard
doesn't really play a lot of pick and roll. He doesn't play as much pick and roll as he should. He's actually pretty unproductive for his size in the post. Like, his shooting percentage in the post is really,
but the amount
really
of
low.
Offensive,
nobody talks about
the amount of offensive rebounds that he gets to either put up himself or give back to Harden to set up another offensive possession. I mean, he's really he comes through in that aspect.
The injuries bring it down a little bit too. That was the biggest thing with me is he just seems like he's an injury
away.
He hasn't
from
been
really
the same
being
since
on the
he
decline.
Came back from his back.
Well, and his whole thing is he relies on his athleticism to do half the stuff he does on the court, and so you know he's getting older, he's losing that step, which is obviously starting to show through. But I still think, I don't know, man.
Do they deserve to be in the top five?
I like them over Connolly and Gasol, even though Connolly and Gasol have done more.
I do, too.
Okay, how about Curry and Thompson? Because Thompson pulled a disappearing act during the finals last year, and Kevin's not going to write him off because of that. But I think that if you're talking about the best 1-2 punch in the NBA and you are in the biggest matchup in your career and you pull a disappearing act, that has to fall into the equation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a knock, but I think he also got them there. I still think he was really solid on the defensive end. I think
he was
you can't
a 1-2 punch
that,
on a team that had the top offense last year.
I mean, people forget Klay Thompson scored 37 points in a quarter. How many people can do that around the league? And it's not like he's just a one-trick pony. He's a really solid perimeter defender.
Everyone says he's a really solid perimeter defender. Also, Andre Iguodala, for the most part, has been taking the toughest defensive assignment, not Klay Thompson recently, and a lot of people aren't talking about that either. Is he a good defender? Yes. Is he an elite defender by any means? Like, no, he's not. I just don't think he is. So do we keep that pair in the top five?
I think we do.
I think they're there alone because of last year. I think the offense that they brought last year was just so crazy. And I know it's not just those two, but they were the ones who...
Steph Curry alone. I mean, the fact that Steph Curry alone puts you into that conversation. He's a top six player in the league.
Okay. So we're keeping... I mean, I vote to keep him in the five.
Did we agree Connolly and Gasol are out? Did we get on that?
No, that's the next one. Okay. Connolly and Gasol.
I don't think they make the top five.
I don't think they make it either.
They've had a lot of continued success, though.
And
Conley
agree.
Is a really underrated point guard. Mark Gasol is phenomenal. He's a point center.
And I agree with you. I just don't see them over... I don't even see them over Harden, Dwight Howard.
They've made deep runs every year.
I know. I just...
More
but
consistently
it's
than Harden and
but
Howard.
But it's just not enough to give them that extra push that they need. They need something just a little bit more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it just seems like they're missing something. Like Harden...
Conley's a better two-way player, obviously.
What tips Harden and Howard for me is that Harden's a borderline MVP candidate last year. And I'm just talking about right now who I think is better. And I agree. I think Conley's one of the most underrated players in the league, and I think Marc Gasol is a phenomenal player, a superstar, but... I don't know. It just seems like there's something missing for me. At the end of the day, when I'm looking at who am I going to count on to take over a game, I don't see either of those two doing it, where I see James Harden doing it, and that's what swings it for me here.
Okay, are we going to leave LeBron and Irving on?
Absolutely.
Yes. Honestly,
because the last year,
But they made...
And you're talking about somebody that just fractured
two made
his knee.
Those two... I don't know, man.
I mean, also, like you can say those two made it to the finals. Like Kyrie
really
didn't play throughout the playoffs.
Right.
Like he didn't. And then he came back, fractured his knee, he was gone. Yeah, we don't know if he's going to be good.
Yeah, but they were the best offensive team in the league when they were playing, when they were all healthy and playing together.
Post-All-Star break.
You're right. We know they work together. It's just a matter of Kyrie's got to be healthy. But I think if Kyrie's healthy, they have to be on this list. I mean, it's the same thing that we assume with Durant Westbrook's health, is that they have to be healthy. But assuming they're healthy...
Yeah, you also have a larger sample size with those two, though.
You're right, but Kevin Durant's also coming off a bigger injury than Kyrie Irving is. Kevin Durant's foot injury could be a game changer.
Kyrie Irving fractured his knee.
Yeah, but Kyrie...
I mean, that's a serious injury, too. Kevin Durant suffered from a stress fracture in which they put in... essentially a non-FDA-approved fake bone over that bone. He's supposed to be 100% healed on this. It doesn't look like it's going to be continued. You look at Kyrie Irving, who hasn't played a full season since he's played basketball, even at a college level, who just came off of fracturing his knee. Like, I think that that has to be taken into account.
It is, and I think you would lower them here, but I still am not kicking either of them out of the five, despite their injury concerns.
Okay, so let's vote. I think we kick them out. We leave Conley in. You guys don't seem like you agree.
No, I think we got to keep them over Conley and Gasol.
All right, so this is a democracy here. We're taking off Conley and Gasol, so we're down to our five. We have Harden, Howard, Durant, Westbrook, LeBron, Irving, CP3, Griffin, and Curry, Thompson.
Can't forget about Kawhi and Duncan.
Kawhi and Thompson, I think we have to take Kawhi and Duncan off. I think this
they've won. They've,
over
they've
any of
it.
These people.
I agree.
I
agree with Tim. It's because the Spurs are deeper. Like, what do you want them to do? The Spurs are just – Duncan at this point of his career is just – I can't put him better than any of the second players on that team.
Okay.
Well, no, that – and I think that Kawhi Leonard is an amazing player, but he's not dominating offensively for
not
long
yet.
Stretches.
Right. He has stretches where he does, but it's not consistent yet.
Okay.
That's the next step in Kawhi Leonard's development.
Which is what – makes a star as opposed to a role player is the fact that stars put those numbers up consistently throughout the entire season. And Kawhi Leonard, like, frankly, he doesn't really get turned on until that was a weird way of phrasing.
That was totally weird way to say.
His game doesn't really elevate until post All-Star break every single year. I'm not really sure why that is, if he's just taking off.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. It's a guy that I want on my team, but. You know,
so we're taking Kawhi and Duncan off. So we are left with Harden, Howard, Durant, Westbrook, LeBron, Irving, CP3, Griffin, Curry, Thompson. Let's start from the back. Go from fifth to first best. Who's the least best 1-2 punch out of those five choices?
I see it as Harden, Dwight, or LeBron and Kyrie.
I have Harden, Dwight at five.
See, I had Harden, Dwight, or Curry, Thompson, or LeBron, Irving. So it seems like the only one that all of us agree on is Harden, Howard.
Okay.
Yep.
Right? So Harden, Howard, fifth best.
Okay.
So then who do we want to put at number four?
To me, that's between LeBron, Irving, and Curry, Thompson.
See, I see that between CP3 and LeBron. Those are the two I'm looking at for four.
I have Curry Thompson at four.
Okay.
So and that's just because if Kyrie Irving's healthy and we see what – I just think LeBron's
– I think – but don't we have to take into account, like, his injury? Like, that,
we do.
That's why I have them at fourth is solely because of the injury.
We do. But I think that Kyrie Irving, even with the injury risk, is a better player than Klay Thompson is. And I think LeBron and Curry
– See, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, see, I think LeBron is also better than Curry. That difference is a little closer. I think we know how awesome Curry is.
I mean, I don't
think
he's better. I just think he's different.
I think he's better, too.
I think he's
a
different kind of player.
I don't think Steph Curry could do what LeBron did last year.
No, I agree, but I also don't think that LeBron can do what Curry does.
No, well, definitely. He's not nearly a good enough shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing either of these guys, but I'm gonna go Curry Thompson here at four.
I'm gonna go LeBron Irving at four. That would make the vote up to you, Justin.
Great! I love when it's up to me. Honestly,
did you go CP3 Blake and really throw it off, and then make
it just really
make
it all
have to put our
of...
third places in there too? Then.
No, I think I'm gonna agree with Tim here and put LeBron and Kyrie.
I've never been an Irving guy. Irving was in the Eastern Conference with a decent team for years and could never even get them into the playoffs. And I don't think that he makes players around him better. And that's always been my issue with Kyrie Irving. That and he can't stay healthy for a season, but he was never able to get them even to the eighth seed. He's a number one overall pick. He's riddled with injuries. He fractured his knee. I think they have to be fourth.
Okay.
And that's not because of LeBron. That's simply a knock on Irving.
I think Kyrie's the one that brings it down for him. Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay.
All right, so they're at four.
Who do we have at number three?
Well,
I feel like you guys agreed already kind of with the Curry-Thompson.
Yeah, I'm going to go Curry-Thompson. If they're not at four, I think they should be at three.
What do you think, Tim? Anybody else worse than
No, I think it's Thompson on this one, though. When I'm looking at CP3, I think that Chris Paul is the best point guard in the game. I do think he's a better point guard than Curry, but it's close. But I just think that Griffin is so much better than Clay Thompson.
They're just on a different level. Right. Like, that's what swings it for me. We know Curry and Thompson have had more success, but again, I attribute that more to the Warriors roster, and the Clippers don't have a bench when the Warriors have arguably the best bench in the league last season.
Okay. Yeah, you just can't take it. It's not Chris Paul's fault that they haven't gone to the finals.
Okay, fine. So now it's down to the last two, either CP3, Blake Griffin, or KD, and Russell Westbrook. Who do you think should go number two? Who should go number one?
Well, CP3. I mean, I just like Durant. I think the CP3 and Blake Griffin should be number two. Durant and Westbrook. Durant's one of the top three best players in the NBA. Westbrook is nuts. And the thing about Westbrook, yes, he's erratic, but
he gets it done.
What he's also doing is when he's driving to the basket is that he's constantly putting the other team in the penalty. He's constantly putting their players into foul trouble, and that's something that's not really measured through analytics, but I think that's something that we have to take into account when we're looking at somebody's impact on the court.
Well, I think if nothing else, if you strip it down to its base, these two guys alone can put up 90 points a game.
Right.
I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, you're looking at Westbrook. I think Westbrook's a top six player in the league. I think that KD is two if he's healthy behind LeBron right now, and they're such a nightmare to guard. I mean, between Westbrook's athleticism and relentlessness, between the fact that Kevin Durant's a 6'11" monster who can shoot from anywhere on the floor, it's just you have to go with these two guys. These two guys are game changing superstars who are on the same team.
So our official top five, and we'll post this to our social media pages so you can check us out on Facebook or Twitter for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let us know your feelings on it.
Is going to be number one, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. Number two, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul. Number three, Curry and Thompson. Number four, LeBron and Kyrie. Number five, Dwight and Harden. And you guys can yell at us, agree with us, do what you want on our social media page.
I mean, I don't agree quite with the placement on a few of those, but I feel like between the three of us that we came up with a pretty concise...
It's a fair list.
Yeah.
Why don't we switch gears a bit? We're going to get into Drive and Dougal. It's Tim's turn this week, and he's actually breaking down a drag screen.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
All right, let's hear it.
Please, teach me how to
play basketball.
Gee, let me sink. Sure.
The Drive and Dougal.
Wait, what's that?
It's like Google, if it's just the NBA.
This week on The Drive and Dougal, we're going to break down a drag screen. This type of screen happens in transition when the big is trailing the ball handler, dragging behind the screen, if you will. The big sets the screen near the three-point line, usually rolling to the basket, not to get the ball, but to draw away the defense from the ball handler. This usually leaves the ball handler wide open for a pull-up J, though sometimes they'll drive to the hoop. This week's Drive and Dougal, the drag screen, because the screener is dragging behind for the sneak screen.
Mail. Gather around, everybody.
Oh, boy.
All right, so the first question comes on Facebook this week from Stuart O'Kell. He asks, do you think traded picks should have protections placed on them? Example, lottery protected.
I like this question because I do. And I this is the reason I think that. You might trade for a player that's worth a first-round pick at, like, the 15 spot, but he might not be worth a number three pick in the first round. So you can kind of protect it and make it so that, you know, you're giving what that player's worth and making it actually a fair deal when you could say, all right, I'm going to give you a first-round pick for this player.
Well, he's talking about traded picks, like trading, throwing a pick into a deal and you're getting a separate pick back, right? That's Stewart's question?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was thinking it was for a player.
No, because they're protected all the time. They're constantly protected. So I think that's what Stewart's talking about. I mean, I think that when you're trading a pick for a pick, that it's risky regardless of how you're doing it, and that's the nature of the business. And if you take out the risk, then what's the point? Like, if there's no upside for the other team. So no, I mean, I don't think that traded picks, if that's what Stewart's referring to, should be protected. But if you're trading a pick already for an actual NBA player, a lot of those are protected, and they should be if you're smart.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was asking. If you're playing for, if you're trading for a player, I completely agree.
Yeah,
with
I mean, look at all
for.
The Sixers picks. Like half of the picks that you guys got.
Well, yeah, with Miami and OKC, if they weren't protected, well, and the Lakers pick last year, if they weren't protected, would have all came over. But no, I understand it. I think it's a way to. It's basically a way to prevent stupid teams from being too stupid, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that, but they are, you know, they already have that with what is it? What, I think you did a drive and do.
Oh, the stipend rule.
The stipend rule. Yeah,
yeah, but the stipend rule is flagrant. Like, that's beyond stupidity. That's just right. But how amazingly mind-numbingly dumb.
Isn't part of the joy of the NBA is watching teams like the Knicks and the Nets flounder their franchises so
yeah, but
awful
think about
that we
those
have something
fan bases.
To talk
about. They actually do have fans, though. They don't deserve that.
Right, but I mean, it's still, you know.
As hilarious as it is to watch the Knicks be the Knicks, like, there's still a lot of Knicks fans out there. You feel a little bad for them after
you
gotta
a while. Make sure there's a market in the biggest city in the U.S. You know what I mean? Like, there's right. gotta be a market for the team.
Well, I had somebody the other day that was saying that, and I was listening to satellite radio, actually. I was listening to the NBA channel, and they were talking about how the Knicks are never getting calls from the refs in the playoffs. And it's like, and this is kind of to the point that you just brought up. You're looking at a team with a market where there's 15 million people. Mm-hmm. To say that the Knicks are never getting any calls in the playoffs, like the NBA is not intentionally keeping a market that big out of the playoffs. They right. want those extra 15 million people watching.
Right, right.
Yeah, I
agree. Their numbers go up.
All right, so the next question comes from Greg Richardson. He asks, what sort of team strategy or player attributes will end the league-wide small ball trend?
I mean, I think that trends just end eventually, and that, like, you're looking at, look, everyone trying to play small ball.
Just because, the whole thing with when they brought Iggy in, that, right. like, showed it worked.
In the Warriors, and the small ball's always going to work, but I honestly believe that if you have teams like the Grizzlies, arguably like the Hawks, that you can have these teams where their big men are just so overpowering that
you just bully the shit out of them.
Yeah, you're playing to your strengths. And so I think that the small ball thing is the wave of the future, but I also think it's a fad, and not every team is going to always play into that fad.
Well, I just think that it depends on how skilled your centers are.
And, yeah,
and
exactly.
If you get a skilled center, you're going to build around him, because the fact of the matter is, the taller you are, the bigger the advantage you're going to have on the small people. It's just we've seen the trend with centers right. go to more where they have a little bit of guard abilities too. You know, we mentioned Karl Towns was such a coveted prospect because he can stretch the floor a little bit. Anthony Davis is a big guy with the handles of guards. So
well,
it's just kind of
point guard.
You know,
right.
Embiid was the same draw to Joel Embiid for me as a Sixers fan, is that he can stretch the floor and that he has such a dynamic offensive game. But you know, that's what would end it.
But then
for
again,
me.
Also look at the Jazz. They play big and they did really well the second half of the year. You know, once yeah. they got rid of cancer. I mean, I just think you were saying, okay, so you can put it like this. You're saying it's a fad. Some people don't look like, you know, how clothing, it's some people just don't look good in certain clothing. It's kind of like that. Some teams just aren't going to fit that mold. You know what I mean? Not every team's going to be able to do it. If you got big men that can bully the smaller guys, then go big and you know, have a backup that can come in, because your bigs going to be running a lot.
No, absolutely. And if your bigs are good enough, that you can absolutely win without small ball.
Right, right. I agree.
All right. So the next question comes from Milbert Santos on Facebook. He asks, does the money offered in China, is it enough for a veteran NBA player, such as Darrell Wright and Andre Blatch, to take a gamble and maybe never get back into the league?
Absolutely. We've seen this happen a number of times, and we just forget about those players. But there are tons of NBA players, especially when the lockout happened. Sonny Weems, who the Suns just signed, actually, is coming from, not China, but he's coming from Europe.
Did Mayberry do that, too?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Well, and the other thing is,
we just forget about it.
The players, not mediocre, but once you start getting older and you're not, you know, as dominant in the NBA, if you go over to China, you can still be, like, crazy dominant over there. Like,
Steph Marbury totally changed his legacy in China.
Right. Exactly. So, and it's one of those things, like, the skill level, I don't want to say the skill level is worse, but, you know, you can be a good player in the NBA and go to China and be, like, one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese league isn't the NBA, but seriously, though, look up Steph Marbury in China. They did a play about his life.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Such, he's
they
like
have,
a,
like, statues.
He's a god over there. But, you know, anyway, but the other thing, too, about, and specifically, this is for the Chinese league, not for any of the other international leagues, like in Spain and in France.
Hey, shout out to Australia really quick for making the Olympics, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But specifically for China, their season ends in March. So we can see J.R. Smith did this, and Darrell Wright could very well do this year. You play for a little bit in China, and you come back, and all of a sudden a contender needs that veteran shooter. You come back, and you can play in America and get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, come back for the deadline.
And mm-hmm. Basketball is done the best of the four major American sports, in my opinion, of really appealing to the international game.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, football's
football, like American it's not football popular only exists.
Well, they're trying
it's
to
the
play
biggest
over
sport
in
America,
now.
But it's in Canada.
Yeah, in Canada.
And yeah, there's a little bit in London, but it doesn't really matter. Ice hockey, it's huge in America. It's huge in Russia. Soccer's not one of the big four American sports.
Oh, you said big four. Oh, yeah. I didn't hear that part.
No. Soccer's clearly the biggest sport worldwide, obviously. But it's not.
It's starting to pick up a little bit in America, though. I'll give
I've been
that.
Hearing that
Listen,
for 20 years.
Yeah, okay. My entire life, everyone's like, soccer's going to be a thing in America. No, it's not.
Like, it's definitely it's not. Like, there's definitely fans, and like the U.S. was definitely behind the women's team when they won Women's World Cup.
Them.
Absolutely. Like, that's a thing. It's not like they're nobodies anymore, but it's got a long, like, the MLS just doesn't get the attention because the best players aren't playing in America. You know, that's the beauty of every league. You know, even with the NHL, where the best players in the NHL come from Canada, they're still playing in America for the most part, minus the, like, there's 9 Canadian teams, but it's still American-centered.
Well, that's part of the problem with the European basketball leagues, too, is that, like, anybody that's really good, frankly, comes over to the NBA.
Right, because you should. It's the best league in the world. It makes no sense for you not to come over. So the next question comes from Yanni Villagine. He asks, okay, I'll give that Minnesota isn't going to be in the playoffs, but do you guys think they would be if they were in the East? I think Washington is going to drop and Boston will surprise us all. Still believing the Cavs, Heat, Spurs, OKC are going to be the conference finals. Also happy for the Clippers to get a real bench. Finally, drunken greetings from Finland.
Oh, hi. Dude, I love this Minnesota team. Like, if you look at this Minnesota team and you look at some of their young players, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad, which everybody seems to forget about for some reason.
He's
I'm not
been
really
dealing
sure
with injuries recently.
Well, he did. Like, he was injured for like the second half of the season, but Shabazz Muhammad is a really promising.
They're really
prospect.
Exciting to watch. Like, they're a good team to make.
Shabazz
your
Muhammad
NBA
was terrible
team.
His rookie year.
Well, he was, but I mean, he's
point.
Like he's been making strides, and he will be really good. Like, he's going to be a good player. I have all the faith in the world in him becoming a good player.
And you're really high on Shabazz Muhammad,
dude. The kid's good. Gorgui Dieng is really a really good player. Then you look at the fact that they just, like, they're running Ricky Rubio, who is a good point guard. He's not an elite point guard, but he's a good point guard. They have Kevin Martin, who's a really good scorer. They have Nikolai Pekovic. They have Kevin Garnett for that veteran. Well, we already mentioned it, but they have Kevin Garnett for the veteran leadership, and then they just signed Andre Miller. Like, if they were
and
in the
Tayshaun
East.
Prince.
And Tayshaun Prince, exactly. If they were in the East, like, what the Timberwolves are doing right now is what I think that, to a lesser extent, the Sixers should be doing, where they're adding vets that can help those younger players. And if they were in the East, they would absolutely be a playoff.
Yeah, but the Wolves, I'd also argue, have more of their guaranteed core in place because you've seen what Wiggins can do and you've seen what you have.
No, I agree. They have more of a core in place, but I wish that the Sixers would take a smaller approach to what the Wolves.
Yeah,
are doing.
We just don't agree on veteran leadership, but I think the Wolves could sneak in the Eastern Conference. I think they.
But
would be a lower
seed. Do you agree with
him?
The Wizards are going to drop?
Yeah, but the Wolves have solid players, though. You have Ricky Rubio, Kevin Martin, Nikolai Pekovic. Those are solid NBA players. And if you were to put that, they just have that. Yeah. If you were to put that in the East, like, those three players alone would win you 30 games in the East.
I don't agree with that at all. I think you're overrating those players.
You're really low on Kevin Martin, and you're really low
on
Pekovic.
At this point. I think Kevin Martin gets hurt all the time, and I don't think he's that dynamic of a scorer anymore. I think Pekovic is okay, but I think he's slow.
How many Wolves games did he realistically watch last year?
I mean, a handful.
Right. Like, he's a damn good player.
But it doesn't mean I don't watch it. Like, I still follow Kevin Martin. I watch the highlights. It's not like I'm not paying attention.
And he averaged almost 20 points a game last year. But also with the Wolves, when you're talking about injury, and the same thing with Nikolai Pekovic, is the Wolves were doing this last year where it's like, oh, your ankle's sprained. Why don't you just sit out 2 months?
Right. I don't know. I agree, but I don't agree with his statement saying that the Wizards are going to drop. I think the Wizards are still going to be in the playoffs.
They added Jared Dudley to be a stopgap for Paul Pierce, but then again, Wall and Beal should take strides this year. Gortat doesn't get the credit that he deserves for being as good of a screener as he is. Like, they might not necessarily drop, but I don't necessarily think that they got any better.
Well, that's fine, but they're still going to be in the playoffs, and so they
have to hope Otto Porter develops.
Right.
That's the biggest thing for me, and then that wasn't a fluke at the end of last year. And then Gortat stays productive. If Gortat suddenly falls off a cliff, you have a lot of money tied up in Nene and Gortat, who just...
Well, they need to get rid of Nene.
They need to figure Nene out. That's the problem.
But that's going to be an interesting
Maybe
question.
Maybe a new coach.
Oh, definitely a new coach. All right, so the next question comes on Twitter from Corbin Dallas at Tanzer Ben. He asks, what are your thoughts on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? I quite like him, but I'm biased.
I mean, I agree. He's, what, 2 years in the league now?
He's 2 years in the league as his rookie year. His playing on limited minutes, he shot 39% from the field, 40% in his sophomore season.
69% Gady from the free throw line.
Yeah, like his free throw percentage dropped. I don't know. He's probably going to be fine. The kid's never going to be a star. Will he be a solid role player at some point in his career? Probably.
I just don't like the amount of assists. He only gets like one. I think he averaged like 1.3 assists per game last year. Like, I feel like as a I know you're a shooting guard, but I feel like maybe that could be a bit higher. You know, personally.
Yeah, his turnover rate's pretty good, though. I mean, that's the only thing. But he did, like, he basically doubled his minutes last year.
And that's, like, what I was looking at. Like, his stats dropped, but he doubled his minutes.
Well,
so
his usage rate went up.
Yeah. 11-point-something PER.
Like, it's kind of concerning how the free throw percentage dropped so much. And, you know, he was playing almost half an hour. He was playing almost 30 minutes a game last year, and he was only getting to the line, like, 1 point. 3 times or 1.9 mm-hmm. times. Like, you're playing that many minutes a game, you should probably be getting to the line a little
bit more. Yeah, he's young. I mean, that's pretty much the hope you have for him, is he's still kind of young. But yeah, he seems like an okay. It's like a rotational guy to me. I'm not.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like, there's athleticism there. Like, he's a, you know, he's one of those guys. But yeah, he's solid. Like, he's one of those guys who does a lot of things well, but doesn't really do anything great.
Like J.J. Barea.
Yeah. All right, so the final question, this is a two-parter.
Oh, great.
Comes from Samuel Kirk Hogstrup, and he asks, NBA related, do you guys agree with the ESPN forecast saying that LeBron is the favorite to win MVP next season, and how long do you think he can keep himself in the discussion of best player in the league? Non-NBA related, which country do you think makes the best food?
Okay.
Oh, this is so easy.
Well, and so Tim brought this up. Players usually do really well in a contract season, right?
Yeah.
So if Kevin Durant...
Oh, I agree. I think
it has to be Kevin Durant,
well,
right?
Plus he has something to prove.
Like, right. People forget how good KD is.
He didn't get voted into the All-Star game last year.
Right.
He ended up getting put in, but he wasn't voted in. And Kevin just mentioned it. People forget how good he is. Like, I think next year, like, if I had to put money on one player, I'd put it on Kevin Durant.
I also think you could, Harden might come back a little pissed off that he didn't get it because of his year. So Harden's always in the mix. Curry could be in the mix again. Like, I don't think it's like LeBron James, the overall obvious choice.
I just don't see Curry getting it 2 years in a row.
I don't either. There's it's nothing against the Warriors. It's just, I don't think the Warriors can do for 2 straight years what they did for this year. It's just really hard to repeat in the NBA.
I don't have them going back to the finals.
Especially in the West, too. Because, right, the West, you know, OKC got a lot better. The Clippers got a lot better. The Spurs got a lot better.
Rockets got a lot better.
They kind of had an easy path through the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They got lucky. They avoided some teams.
Memphis is always a juggernaut in the playoffs, though. I'll say that. You know, ask OKC and San Antonio about playing Memphis in the playoffs.
They don't like them.
No, but they still always get beat for the most part.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
My problem with Memphis is like
they still.
It's just always predictable, kind of.
You know, you're going to make it to the second or third round, but after that, you know, you
don't
go anywhere.
Yeah. As for best food, I think it's between Mexican food and Chinese food.
Mexican food, hands down. It's not a debate for me.
But I love Chinese food too, man.
No, it's Mexican. Mexican food, breakfast burritos.
I will tell you, man, out in L.A., had a breakfast burrito. Man, I believe the hype now. Like, holy hell, it was good.
I miss it. It's the one thing I miss about Arizona is the Mexican food.
All right, so I do agree that LeBron is the favorite to win the MVP next year.
You think he's a favorite?
I think there's still a chance.
But you think he's
the favorite? He's the favorite.
Yeah, because it's LeBron. And I think by name recognition, he'll always get that. I do. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, do I think he will necessarily win it? No. I don't think he's going to win it because I'm sure there's going to be somebody who has we didn't predict Steph Curry was going to have as awesome as a year as he did last year. You know, you never know. It was the same thing with Harden. We didn't think Harden was going to be nearly as good as he was last year. You don't know which of the superstars is really going to heat up.
No, I also think that with LeBron, when LeBron took those 2 weeks off last year to rest up, but he was seen courtside for some NCAA games. He was seen in Miami hanging out on the beach. That does hurt his MVP vote. And with LeBron getting older, I think he has to take that time off, and I think that that's going to be calculated into the MVP voting.
Yeah, I agree, mm-hmm. and I don't know. If somebody's better consistently, but I think still the default favorite is LeBron. best country that makes the best best food, I should say. Well, I kind of gave it away. I'm probably going to go Mexico 1. I'm going to go Italy 2. And I'm
going to
go China
2.
I'm going to go China 3.
Yeah, but have you ever had dim sum? Like, have you ever had real Chinese food?
Well, so that was my underlying, and I wrote that down saying, like, oh, I really like Chinese food, but, like, the American take on Chinese
right.
food. You know what I mean?
Because, like, real Chinese food is, it's a culture.
Like,
thing.
All I ever do is General Tso and egg rolls, so it's like, right. you
know, like, that's not really,
it's not Chinese food.
No, like, dim sum is, dude, everybody should go to San Francisco, go to Chinatown if you're in the U.S., and have yourself some dim sum one time in your life. You
All
have
right.
to experience it.
I've been in New York City, Chinatown.
All right,
I've never been
I'll
to
go
San
next
Francisco.
Week. I'm out. I'll see you guys later.
You don't want it twice. But everyone should experience it.
Right.
Do you guys like Thai food?
Yeah, actually, we had Thai food for the wedding last week, and it was really good.
Yeah, you have to like spicy, but Thai food's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mexican food, just tacos are so good, man.
Dude, street
burritos.
Burritos. I got it. I love it. Tostadas. I huevos con rancheros. Delicious.
Wow. You were struggling to spit that. Italy, too. Just pasta and pizza and chicken
Ravioli.
Parm and veal parm. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about
that eggplant parmesan.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, it's 5 o'clock.
I'm starving. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. We really appreciate your mailbag questions and for everyone tuning in to this episode and all our episodes. And please leave us an iTunes review. We've been catching up on your reviews this last week. We still have a few more we got to read, but please leave us those reviews. They're huge for us. It's not to stroke our ego. We promise it's helped us move up in the rankings. So please, if you like the show, leave us an iTunes review.
And we don't need our ego stroked because we stroked other things all the time. So if
you had to make it weird,
hell?
Didn't you?
So if you have an opportunity, though, we're also on all the Android apps. So if Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, TuneIn, we're on all that. If you have a Windows phone, there's nothing you can do but break your phone and go get an Apple or an Android. Sorry.
Apparently, we're also 23% of you listen on other. I haven't heard of that one, but you can follow us on Twitter at Drive Dish NBA. You can follow me personally. I'm at Justin C on the air. You can follow Kevin at Refuse to Lose, and you can follow Tim at Tim NBA.
Radio Tim NBA.
At Radio Tim NBA. Do we want to end on anything?
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
Be a star sign.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da 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 da. Hey! Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point.